Funding for this podcast comes from MathWorks, creators of MATLAB and Simulink software, accelerating the pace of engineering and science. Learn more at MathWorks.com.
And we are going to turn now to Massachusetts Senator Elizabeth Warren, who joins us for our first check-in since this past winter. There is a lot to cover. COVID, student debt, infrastructure. So, Senator Warren, welcome back to Radio Boston.
Thank you. It's good to be back.
So, Senator, I almost have to chuckle because we had a whole list of things we were going to talk to you about today, and the one not on the list was actually infrastructure. But just last hour, so Republican negotiators announced that they'd reached a deal with Democrats on key elements of a $1 trillion bipartisan infrastructure bill. I want to ask you, have you been briefed on the contours of that agreement? And if so, are you on board with it?
So we will be having a vote tonight that will let the Senate move forward to debate the bill on the floor. We've gotten enough of the contours that I think it makes sense to bring this bill to the floor. But understand, bringing it to the floor does not mean that all the details are worked out. So I'll give you an example. Yesterday, there was still a big fight over whether there'd be enough money in it for transit. And you know that's something that's really important to us in Massachusetts. And there was a lot of pushback from the Republicans that money should go into highways, but less into transit. And, I can't make sense of that in a world where we are facing a climate crisis and where so many of our transit systems are so old. So as of this afternoon, we are in a good place on transit. A lot of money going into it, the right proportion going forward. So that's one piece that we think is locked in. And I will be working hard to make sure that we stay on top of it over the next couple of days before we come to a final vote. But another piece, broadband, when we talk about general outlines. Right now, the whole section just says broadband. So there's a lot that has to be filled in under that. But it's at least a basis to begin a debate on the floor of the Senate.
So you would vote to begin that debate tonight, Senator?
I would vote to begin the debate.
Okay. And then, so the debate begins, and I know it's a complicated process, but I'm also aware, and we've talked a lot on the show here before, about the linking of this bill with this larger $3.5 trillion spending package that the president also wants. Do you anticipate that linkage will remain, and will the outcome of the debate that hopefully is not right the word, that may begin tonight, would affect that in any way?
Oh, as I have always described this bill, there is really just one package. Now, it comes in different parts and may take multiple votes. Part of it is a narrow part, narrow relatively speaking, that is roads and bridges and I hope something good on broadband. But the rest of it is child care and home and community-based care. It's about the expansion of Medicare, and it is about putting real resources into fighting back against the climate crisis. It has always been one idea, one package that we're moving forward. One half of this or portion of this does not go forward without the rest of it.
Okay, so then let's come back to what you called the narrower package, which is this transportation piece. At this point, do you anticipate that that's going to make it over the hurdle and become law? I know you have said that not everything is defined yet.
Yeah, and that's the problem. We really can't say until, the jello has to set up here, so that you know what this thing looks like before we do the next round of votes. And understand, this is a 60-vote threshold. I don't want to get too much in the weeds, but I want everyone to understand the challenge here. It will be a 60-vote threshold for this thing to come out and make it to the next level on its votes. So this is about trying to hold a lot of people together who have a lot of challenges, but here's the good news. I think it's fair to say on this package that the Democrats are generally rowing in the same direction. We are trying to build an infrastructure package that works for all of our states, that works for all of our people.
All right, so I'm going to shift gears a little bit here, Senator. Earlier here on this show, we talked about the end of the CDC's eviction moratorium. You have got your eye on the student debt moratorium, which is due to end on September 30th. Democratic legislators held a press conference yesterday calling for President Biden to extend the pause on student loan payments, that part, until at least March 31st of next year. But you also renewed your call for the president to cancel up to $50,000 in student loan debt. He has in the past favored $10,000 potentially. Have you and the president talked recently face-to-face about this? And where are you with him on steps forward?
So I'm not going to talk about personal conversations because I want to keep having personal conversations. But what I can say is that I am hopeful. And here's why. Canceling $50,000 of student loan debt is good for a lot of people in this country, and it is good for this economy. Keep in mind that 40% of the people who are carrying student loan debt do not have a college diploma. So they are managing to pay student loan debt or ask to pay student loan debt on what you make as a high school grad. More than half of all people who are in trouble on their student loans are people of color. They are disproportionately hurt because they borrow more money to go to school, they borrow more money while they're in school, and they have a harder time paying it off when they get out of school. This is an economic justice issue. This is a racial justice issue. And I believe that the President of the United States, who clearly has the power to cancel student loan debt, will pick up the pen and cancel that debt.
Okay, so I want to just keep it clean for our listeners. There's two pieces to this. There's postponing loan payments, and then there's canceling student
That's
debt.
That's the temporary piece, and I'm all for the temporary piece because, let's face it, the temporary piece, this moratorium, is going to run out in just over 2 weeks, and people are not ready. We've seen data now that about two-thirds of borrowers are saying, I can't do this. You know, people who've lost their jobs, people who don't have child care and can't get back to work full time are saying, I can't do this. Our economy is coming out of this pandemic and it's looking good, but it's also fragile. We don't need to hit debtors with what for many of them, it would be the equivalent of another rent payment, another car payment, how much they spend on groceries every month. Not good for those debtors and certainly not good for our economy.
Okay.
So the short-term part is give us a pause until next spring. But the more important part is the permanent part. Cancel $50,000 in student loan debt. Senator Schumer, Congresswoman Presley, and I are fighting our hearts out for this.
Okay, so one of the things for people to understand is rather than congressional action on this, the push has been for the president to take executive action. I want to come back to this forgiving student loans, and I want to play you some sound from Speaker Pelosi speaking to reporters during her weekly news briefing this afternoon.
People think that the president of the United States has the power for debt forgiveness. He does not. He can postpone, he can delay. But he does not have that power. That has to be an act of Congress.
And she went on to question the wisdom of the debt forgiveness, saying in part, quote, suppose your child just decided they at this time do not want to go to college, but you're paying taxes to forgive somebody else's obligations. You may not be happy about that, end of quote. So that is one part about who can do it and another part about political will. And I want to get your reactions to both of those things.
Sure. There's no doubt that the President of the United States can cancel student loan debt. You know how I know that? Because President Obama did it, President Trump did it, and President Biden has done it. He has canceled billions of dollars of student loan debt for people in different circumstances, and he has canceled, not delayed, canceled interest on all outstanding student loans every single month since he got into office.
So is the speaker
that
just wrong?
That is estimated to be about $5 billion. There's just no doubt. The president of the United States can cancel student loan debt. He's done it before. I just want him to do it for $50,000 of student loan debt. He's done it for all 43 million Americans who have outstanding student loan debt. It's already happened. The speaker also talked about as she put it, the politics of doing it. You know, I think of it this way. I pay my taxes, so do other people, and I pay my taxes that in part support highways in South Dakota. I haven't driven on a highway in South Dakota, and I may never drive on a highway in South Dakota, but I help pay for the interstate highway system. I do that, why? Because that system overall is good for all Americans. It's good to have a system that works and people can get goods and services to market. People can get to their jobs everywhere in America. The same is true about student loan debt. Even if someone listening to us has no student loan debt, they should want to see us cancel student loan debt for about 35 million Americans. And here's why. The Fed has already identified that people who have student loan debt are much less likely now to start their own businesses. That's holding back entrepreneurship in America. They are much less likely to be able to buy homes. That's holding back wealth building in America. The consequences of student loan debt are certainly felt by the people who are crushed by that student loan debt, but they are also felt throughout this economy. Canceling student loan debt, good for individuals, good to help close the racial wealth gap, and good for our economy overall.
All right, so Senator, I want to be mindful. Our show is going to be over in about 60 seconds, so super tight.
Okay.
You suggested Suffolk County District Attorney Rachel Rollins to be the U.S.
Yes.
Attorney. That nomination has happened. Reactions and any concern about losing a reformer here in like three sentences?
Sure. I wish we had two Rachels. One who could stay in the current job and one who could come over and be U.S. attorney. She is someone who ran on her values, and then when she got in office, she delivered. And it turns out when people studied what she did in terms of changing the decisions for who would be charged for minor crimes, what Rachel did helped people across Boston. And it is impressive. I want to see that same kind of courage and creativity when she's U.S. attorney. She's going to be terrific in this job.
That is Massachusetts Senator Elizabeth Warren. Senator, thanks so much for your time.
Thank you for having me.
And that's our show for today. Radio Boston is a production of 90.9 WBUR, Boston's NPR news station. I'm Tiziana Deering. Thanks for listening. Join us again tomorrow for more Radio Boston.